Blog Talk Radio.
This word in the world this morning found in the 16th note of the Psalm, Psalm 16, verse 1, and it reads, "Keep me faithful, God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, apart from you, I have no good thing." Verse 11 tells us, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." We'd like to speak briefly on this subject this morning. Faith always wins.
Amen.
Faith always wins. In common with five other Psalms, 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60. This hymn of David is also called the Nicton. Now, while the meaning of this title is unclear, it has been suggested that this word Nicton means to engrave, means to place on high, because what this psalm deals with and what these Nicton psalms infer is that they always end on a note of triumph.
Amen.
When you get through reading these particular psalms, they always give you a triumphant victory.
All right.
Yeah, that's how they end. So these psalms were to be lifted up. These psalms were, in essence, to be engraved in our minds and our psyche to give us hope when we are going through trying times. So, what's also noteworthy with this psalm is that Psalm 16 is messianic as well. It depicts our Savior's triumph, both in life and in death. In these 11 verses of Psalm 16, we see Jesus being the leader of the faith life.
Yes, sir.
We see him enduring the cross. We see him enduring the shame of that. We see him sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yes, sir.
So as such, our Savior is our unfailing example for walking by faith, and also winning by faith, because faith always wins. Let us look at the meaning of this life of faith. Listen to David as he speaks unto God, and he asks God to keep me safe. "For you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, you are the glorious one in whom I delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. And I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up your name on my lips." So on this first section of the song, David makes it quite clear that the believer is called upon to live a life of faith.
Yes,
and he drives, because the essential biblical method is that the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And this life of faith also deals with a life of preservation. "Keep me faithful, God, for in you I take refuge." And that word persevere presupposes the life in God already done and now maintained by your continued grace. You see, it would appear that the writer would be, he wasn't being threatened by any particular danger, but his prayer is an acknowledgement that every believer lives and moves and has their being in God.
Yes, sir.
And this is that like of him. Therefore, listen to David as he said, for you, you alone, I put my trust. In other words, in you, and you only, Lord, do I put my trust. For in you, there would be no life or preservation of life. So therefore, I'm putting all of my trust in you. And it's important to recognize that just as we can't save ourselves from sin and death without having a personal faith in Christ Jesus, we can't live for Jesus on our own accord as well. We need him. And therefore, living for Jesus requires faith. And as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have to walk with him. We have to engage in what's called a life of dedication. I said unto the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you, I have no good thing. In the original Hebrew language, it tells us that David is saying, I have no good apart from you. Therefore, my spiritual well-being depends upon you, Lord. And likewise, the saints in who I find great delight, they feel the same way. In other words, David is affirming that the life of faith is a life of dedication to the only one who make life worthwhile. And what is sweeter than to be able to gather together on earth and share that truth with other like-minded individuals? You see, it also, this life of faith also deals with a life of separation. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. There's only one of those sadness in the song. And this is the verse. It highlights the good news that is present in the song. See, a life of faith entails that you have to also live a life of separation. There's some folk that you can't run with based on their faith. If they don't have any faith in the Lord, those individuals that you don't need to be running with. Can I get a witness today? It's referring to individuals whose faith is not like yours. They've got their faith placed in other individuals. And whenever your faith is not rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, you are engaged in what's called idol worship. And I don't care how you try to sugarcoat it or try to excuse it or try to accept it, if it's not Jesus, it's idol worship. Trouble is that. That's why John admonishes his little children, keep yourself from idols. That thing that is driving you, that thing that I long for, that thing that I trust in. If it's not Jesus, I need to get it away. If it's my job, if it's my home, if it's the material comfort that I crave more than Jesus, I need to rearrange my priorities. Then we move on to what's called the legacy of faith. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me the counsel. Once the believer is introduced to a life of faith, they are at once entitled to what's called a legacy of faith. Paul says the same thing when he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings and have their places in Christ. Look, if you will, to what David means by this godly heritage. This godly heritage means that into this legacy that we're going to receive, that legacy of faith, there is a spiritual heritage. When God explained to Aaron that he would have no special inheritance in the land of Canaan, he added, I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel. So in this psalm, David claims that same purpose. If God was important, nothing held back. As a matter of fact, we can look at it this way. God is the portion of the portion. Let me explain it as that. God is all we need. David said, the Lord is my cup. And whenever you do that cup, that means that when you relate to God, that means you got everything you need in that cup. That cup is full, and in relationship to God, that cup every now and then is overflowing. Like an overflowing cup. God is to be more than sufficient to meet our needs. We know a man may need me. Whenever you need something, God will provide. And I know I've got two or three witnesses who have been the recipients of God providing the need. He's like an overflowing cup. And David said, not only could he delight in the abundance of the blessing, but he also delighted in the assurance of the blessing. For he said, the Lord maintains my life, meaning what he blesses me with, he maintains. It may run down, it may look like it's getting empty, but if you got that winning faith, God will increase your blessings when it needs to be increased. What was David's portion to be our portion as well? For then we have a spiritual experience. David says the boundary line has fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a godly heritage. Don't you ever take it to heart when individuals try to define you in order to confine you. When individuals try to put limitations on your life, telling you what you can be and what you should seek out. No, don't listen to that. Listen to David when he says the boundary line has fallen. The boundaries that this world has set upon me and mine, the Lord has taken them away. He has cast them off. He has blessed me to be in pleasurable places. He's allowed me to be in places that my old definers didn't want me to be in the first place. Never let anybody put limitations on what God can do in your life. It's possible to receive a legacy and never enjoy it because you're listening to the wrong people. You're listening to people that don't know God. You're listening to people that really don't want you to be blessed because they derive their life's purpose in seeing you down. And as long as they see you down, that makes them happy. But we serve a God who specializes in lifting us up. We serve a God who specializes in tearing down boundaries. We serve a God who knows how to bring a hill down and to uplift a valley. Oh, yes, he will. Listen to David when he said, the line has fallen. And unto me in pleasant places, I have a goodly heritage. Then when we get that legacy straight, we got to make sure that we have what's called that look. David said, I have set the Lord always before me. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So when the writer of the book of Hebrews describes Christ Jesus, he describes him as one who triumphs by faith. And he exhorts his readers to look up to Jesus. You've been looking at everybody else but the right person. And he lets them know that we need to look to Jesus. So in a similar way, David's focus is look of faith on God. This gaze of the soul brings forth a threefold blessing. See, when you look unto Jesus, Jesus will bring stability in your life. For David's life was constantly crowded with tribulation, persecution, and opposition. But despite that, his eyes were always stayed on the Lord. And as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he realized the secret of true stability. We also face problems in life. If we want to live a life that's steadfast, unmovable, always abounding unto the work of the Lord, we have to learn how to turn our eyes to Jesus. But when you turn your eyes to Jesus, Jesus will give you some peace in your life. Listen to David when he said, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh shall rest in hope. You see, the heart that David is referring to stands for the Spirit. And that word glory can be translated to the word soul. And then, of course, flesh speaks of the body. So when we see the peace and the calm and rest of our human personality, you get that when your existence is centered on God, when your eyes are fixated on Christ Jesus. Jesus will give you peace. He'll give you peace in the midst of your circumstance. For Paul's prayer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, tells us that the very God of peace sanctifies you, holds you. And I pray God the whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus. And as Peter and Paul, as they tell us in the book of Acts, that this song that we're preaching from this morning describes the Savior as he contemplates Calvary with all of his cruelty, tragedy, and ultimate victory. For he prays that God will always be before. And therefore, when God is before, he'll always be glad. His heart is glad, his spirit is cheerful, and his soul is joyful, and above all that, he's grateful. And if this is true for Jesus, our master, can we not claim that same peace as we face the satanic attack on our spirit, soul, and body? For God's purpose for us is to have peace in all circumstances, in all situations of life. And then, as I close, I want to talk about briefly the sufficiency in the believer's life.
Amen.
David ended the song by saying, Lord, show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What words to describe the sufficiency that he is our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Look at these sentences of the last verse, one by one, to appreciate what the Lord has in store for us. Observe that the sufficiency of the Lord is available for you. But David says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Meaning that he's available. And not only is he available, there's also sufficiency in that. For he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Meaning that there's some abundant blessing in the world. And then, glory to God, it's a sufficiency that not only is it available, not only is it abundant, it's also abiding, meaning that it will never run out. Those things that you trusted in before you met Jesus, they ran out. There was a time when you trusted in your looks. But as the years went by, those looks, they ran out and they disobtained it all. Oh, yes, they did. If you trusted in that job more than Jesus, we're living in a day where folks are losing their jobs on a daily basis. So if you trusted in your job, that job has a tendency of running out. There was a time when you trusted in your health, you could run, get up and jump wherever you wanted, and you didn't feel it. You just went on skipping, hopping, and jumping. But now things have changed, and you can't get around like you used to. But praise be to God. He gives us a sufficiency that is abiding, meaning that it will never run out. And therefore, the psalmist reminds us that God opens his hand to satisfy the desire of every living thing. So, as God's hand is open moment by moment, we can appreciate his presence moment by moment. As a matter of fact, as we live for Jesus, as we walk with Jesus, as we walk with Jesus, Jesus is blessing us. Oh, yes, he is. And when you're going through trying times, you better make sure that when folks are looking at you, they don't just see you, but they see a look of faith. See, when trouble comes, we don't get all bent out of shape, hollering and crying, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. We know how we're going to make it. Because our faith is rooted and grounded in none other than Christ Jesus. That same Jesus who traveled down from glory in 28 generations. That same Jesus who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. I'm talking about that same Jesus who tabernacled down here for 33 years. Healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind. That same Jesus who took up his cross and carried it to a hill called Calvary, where he hung, bled, and died for your sins and mine. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And that's where our faith is rooted and grounded, in the fact that he got up early Sunday morning. He's alive. He's alive there. He's alive right now. And if you have faith in Jesus, you have faith that will seal the victory for you.
Amen.
We already have the victory because we already have that faith in Christ Jesus. And let me let you in on a note that Jesus is a winner. But it feels like everything doom and gloom is not going to get any better. My advice to you is to look unto Jesus. Jesus has a way. When you look unto him, he'll make a way out of it. Jesus has a way. And when the doctor says there's nothing that he can do, oh, my goodness, he'll pull a miracle. Some of us who are listening, some of us who are here today, can testify to the fact that when we need it, God provided a miracle. When others said it couldn't be done, Jesus said, don't listen to them, listen to me. As a matter of fact, don't you need to say a word, just look at it. And I'll do the work, you just look. Can I go with you? Amen. Faith will always win. But make sure your faith is in the right place and in the right one. Make sure your faith is in none other than Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. No. No.
Thank you.